Carl jumped off the bed, snatching up his shorts. He jammed his legs into them, and was still struggling with the button when he yanked the door lock back and rushed out onto the deck. Alison squealed behind him, trying to cover herself with her arms, as vibrant mid-morning sunlight flooded into the cabin. She grabbed the thin sheet to wrap herself in, and started hunting round for her clothes. After the seductive shadows of his cabin, the sunlight on deck sent glaring purple after-images, chasing down Carl's optic nerves. Tear ducts released their stored liquid, which he had to wipe away annoyingly. A couple of colonists and three deputies, barely older than him, were staring at him. He leaned out over the rail and peered down at the river. There was some sediment carried by the water, and shimmering sunlight reflections skittering across the surface, but he could see a good 3 or 4 meters down. But there was nothing solid, no silt bank, no submerged tree trunk. Up on the bridge, Rosemary Lamborn hadn't been sure about the first scrape, but like her eldest son, she was perfectly in tune with the Swithland. Something had left her with heightened senses, a suddenly hollow stomach. She automatically checked the forward sweep mass detector. This section of the Zamjan was 12 meters deep, giving her a good 10 meters of clearance below the flat keel, even overloaded like this. There was nothing in front, nothing below, and nothing to the side. Then it happened again. The aft hull struck something. Rosemary immediately reduced power to the paddles. "Mother?" She bent over the starboard side to see Carl looking up at her. "What was that?" He beat her to it by a fraction. "I don't know," she shouted down. "The mass detector shows clear. Can you see anything in the water?"
"No."
The river current was slowing the Swithland rapidly, now the paddles were stilled. Without the steady thrash of the blades, the racket the colonists made seemed to have doubled. It came again, a long rending sound of abused wood. There was a definite crunching at the end. "That was aft," Rosemary yelled. "Get back there and see what's happened. Report back." She pulled a handset from its slot below the communication console and dropped it over the edge of the rail. Carl caught it with an easy snap of his wrist and raced off down the narrow decking, slipping through the knots of colonists with urgent, fluid movements. "Swithland, come in, please," the speaker on the communication console said. "Rosemary, can you hear me? This is Dale here. What's happening? Why have you stopped?" She picked up the microphone. "I'm here, Dale," she told the Nassir's captain. When she glanced up, she could see the Nassir half a kilometer upriver, pulling ahead. The Heysel was downriver on the starboard side, catching up fast. "It sounds like we struck something."
"How bad?"
"I don't know yet. I'll get back to you."
"Rosemary, this is Callan. I think it would be best if we didn't get separated. I'll heave to until you know if you need my assistance."
"Thanks, Callan." She leant out over the bridge rail and waved at the Heysel. A small figure on its bridge waved back. A screech loud enough to silence all the colonists erupted from the Swithland's hull. Rosemary felt the boat judder, its prow shifting a degree. It was nothing like she had ever experienced before. They were almost dead in the water. It couldn't possibly be a snag. It couldn't be. Carl reached the afterdeck just as the Swithland juddered. He could feel the whole boat actually lift a couple of centimeters. The afterdeck was packed full of colonists and posse members. Several groups of men were lying down, playing cards or eating. Kids charged about. 8 or 9 people were fishing over the stern. Cases of farmsteading gear were piled against the superstructure and the taffrail. Dogs ran about underfoot. There were 5 horses tethered to the side rail, and 2 of them started pulling at their harnesses as the brassy scrunching noise broke across the boat. Everybody froze in expectation.
"Out of the way!" Carl shouted. "Out of the way!"
He started elbowing people aside. The noise was coming from the keel, just aft of the furnace room, which was tacked onto the back of the superstructure.
"Come on! Move!"
Assace snarled at him.
"Kill!
Get that fucking thing out of the way!" Yuri Wilkin dragged Randolph aside. The whole afterdeck complement was watching Carl. He reached the hatchway over the feed mechanism that shunted logs into the furnace. It was hidden beneath a clutter of composite.